And we're honored to have Sean Haber with us today. And Sean Haber graduated from the Northeast Branch of Mid-America Theological Seminary with a Master of Divinity. And he, throughout the year, he is the volunteer chaplain in Albany Medical Med. And this spring, or this summer, he's working at the Sakandaga Bible Conference, counseling the children and the young, equip young staff members. And Sean also served in Marine Corps from 2002 to 2011, and he's happily married to his wife, Lisa. Let's welcome Sean Haber.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be in your company today. You know, I've known Ivan for about 3 years now. We were classmates at the seminary, and so he talks many wonderful things about, you know, his flock, and it's a pleasure to meet all of you. I've met some of you before. Let me just say that my wife Lisa and I, we definitely have Ivan and Joyce in our prayers. We have Ivan and Joyce in our prayers. Certainly we are looking forward to what God has in store for them in their marriage, and we're looking very forward to, you know, their marriage in general. So anyways, this week it's been an interesting summer for me. I'm not only here preaching at this church, but last week I preached at another church, and next week I'll preach at another church. So I like to consider I had a 3 week preaching tour this summer. And you know, when the calls came in, you know, from the second and third church, I figured, you know, I might as well just preach the same sermon 3 times. But you know, I had to promise my wife, Lisa, that I won't torture her with the same sermon 3 times. Because, you know, to be honest, if I did that, I would have been acting more out of the flesh than out of the spirit. So that's what we're talking about today, is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Excuse me. Sometimes with numbers, it messes up my speech. But anyways, with that said, last week I preached on Galatians 5, 13 through 15. And just to keep things convenient with, you know, whatever, I figured I'd continue in Galatians just for the sake of continuing with the train of thought that the Apostle Paul had. So anyways, let me read. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. This is the word of the Lord. Before I continue, let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for today, Lord. We're honored to be here to preach. Lord, it's a beautiful day outside, and it's also a beautiful church and beautiful people here, Lord. Lord, let us not speak of our own deeds, but let us speak of you and how you are working in our world and how you are working in our hearts. So, Lord, let's just lift up this passage to you and lift up this message to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So a little context about what Paul was talking about. The book of Galatians, it's written to a group of Gentiles who they were commingled with a bunch of Jews who ended up in, you know, what's now modern-day Turkey. So with that said, there were a bunch of Jews trying to impose the Old Testament law onto these new Gentile Christians, which Paul is now addressing these situations. And in previous passages of Galatians 5, Paul addresses the relationship that the Christian has with the law. And so one thing is when we look at the law, when we look at our flesh, we need to understand what is our driving motion. What is driving us to do what we do? Is it the law? Is it the flesh? Of course, you know, Paul wanted to warn about legalism, but then he wanted to learn about if you throw all of God's laws out of the way, you also fall into a category where you could think, I could do whatever I want. Well, that simply is the flesh right there. So we need to recognize our, you know, emotions. And Paul, he speaks out of personal experience dealing with the flesh himself. And so the question we ask is, you know, how is our self-control, loving service to our neighbor, and obedience to the law carried out? And to answer, and I believe what I'm reading today was to answer the prior passage of Galatians 5:13 through 15. So there's 3 points I'd like to make, and each point, you know, goes with each verse I'm covering. So the first point I'm going to make is that the use of well-applied wisdom will recognize the battle. So Paul starts out his statement by saying, "But I say." And, you know, for Paul to write that, that is a pretty bold thing for him to write when he's supposed to be glorifying Jesus. But he's using himself in the first person, which is an interesting thing. But it's not the only time it has come up. Paul had to assert his apostolic authority once before in 1 Corinthians 9, 1 through 4. And also some other times in the Bible, but the biggest time there. And so you have to ask, why is Paul writing in the first person? And I believe that he's writing off of, you know, personal experience. What you need to remember is that Paul, either he was a Pharisee or he was aspiring a Pharisee. So for him, his life at one point was all under the law. And for his life to be under the law, but now being transported to his life being under the Spirit, you know, he definitely had to have learned a few things on the way. And, you know, I like to look at a good analogy is, anybody know what the difference between advice and wisdom? You know, to me, advice is, you know, something that you give somebody, but you haven't even tested it out yourself. You know, I heard something on the radio. Hey, you know, if you, you know, put milk in your cereal or some, I don't know. But wisdom is hard-earned advice, but hard-earned information that is applicable. You know, my first year in seminary, I was engaged. And I have to tell you, I did not receive any marital advice from the faculty. The truth is I received marital wisdom. Because what, you know, the professors, they taught me was hard-earned, either by their personal marriages or through marital counseling that they taught me. And because I knew that this was hard-earned and that mistakes were made along the way, I definitely understood that I need to follow this, that this isn't something to, you know, take lightly as, hey, I heard something on the radio. So that is the difference. So Paul is trying to impart on us some hard-earned information that he had to learn throughout his life and throughout his ministry. So anyways, we need to move on to the next statement of verse 16. Walk by the Spirit, So after Paul exerted his personal experience, Paul brings in the Holy Spirit, which was an interesting thing because in prior passages in Galatians, the Holy Spirit wasn't mentioned that much. Yes, of course, God the Father and Jesus were, but simply he now is bringing it up. And I believe Paul is transitioning to a point where, you know, he's, you know, giving applicable information to the Galatians, which is, you know, information we could definitely, you know, apply for ourselves. So anyway, Paul uses the word walk. And, you know, the word walk is interesting. Did you know that in all of the book of Galatians, that in verse 16, the word walk is the only place that you can find it in the book of Galatians? Yeah, it's interesting. However, Paul uses it 30 times in his other epistles, but only once in Galatians, and here it is. You know, in the Old Testament, and it transferred over into the New Testament, the word walk means to live a life according to. You know, to live a life under these principles. So here's an example. You look at Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. But, you know, if you apply the principle, it should say, blessed is the man who lives a life not in the counsel of the wicked. So if you applied it to Galatians 5:16, it says, and now should say, live a life according to the Spirit. And that's what Paul wants to say, is we need to live a life according to the Spirit, because our things will come up that will distract us. And, you know, if we live by the Spirit, we will not be distracted. And, of course, Paul also talks about, you know, gratifying desires. Me personally, I believe Paul's alluding to verse 13, where he talks about, you know, the Galatians wanting to fight one another. Since they were fighting one another, they were acting desirous and out of the flesh. But they weren't in the Spirit. So Paul, you know, he's reasserting what he already had stated. And Paul is giving an imperative not to give in, but instead to focus on the Lord instead of our fleshly desires. These points give a sharp contrast between the two items, between the flesh and the Spirit. You know, this week out at a camp, I met a kid who said, of course I'm saved. I met Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But he said, but I'm not a Christian. And I was puzzled. I'm like, how can you say that you're saved, but you're not a Christian? You know, the truth is he wants all the benefits of salvation, but he doesn't want the walk that comes with salvation. He wants to, you know, listen to explicit music and say bad words and all this sort of stuff. But to him, all it is just a prayer he does. But what Paul is commanding us to do is to live out what Jesus has commanded us to do, to live in the Spirit, but not in the flesh. And, you know, you're going to learn, you know, you read later on in Galatians 5, you know, the fruits of the Spirit. Self-control is one of them. You know, if you have self-control, you're not going to live in the flesh. You know, going back to the concept of wisdom versus advice, I had the pleasure of meeting up with Ivan and Joyce this last week. And, you know, of course, the issue of wedding plans came up, which is always, you know, an exciting thing to talk about. But, you know, of course, they had, you know, their fears of how could I have the perfect wedding and not disappoint people? Well, you know, I might not be the best expert on engagements, but I was engaged at one point. And, you know, I learned quite a bit that year I was engaged, and there was quite a bit of, wisdom that was imparted on me. And, you know, I told Ivan and Joyce, you know, for me, going through the engagement process, it wasn't about the wedding. It was looking forward to what God has in store for us in our marriage. And that was a wonderful, thing. I could tell you my wife, Lisa, she worked with a bunch of women who, they're like, 5 months away from the wedding, they're like, you haven't gotten your dress yet? And, the truth is God will provide. He'll make a wonderful wedding and, based off of the marriage. And because of the marriage, you definitely want to see that God, works in the wedding. You don't want to necessarily make a grand party, which grand parties, they're wonderful. They're nice. I'll admit that. But it's all about the covenant that two people are going to make in front of God. So that's what you need to remember. So anyways, what God has in store for us is greater than what we could imagine. We could imagine a wedding ceremony, but what God has in store for us is a marriage. And, the same is, true. How do I apply, walking in the spirit as opposed to the flesh? Well, simply, you could reevaluate some of your priorities. As I was telling, Joyce and Ivan, my priority was the marriage, not the wedding. Some people, they love their sports. They could tell you all the stats and who's playing on what team and what have you, but the truth is players get injured, they, get traded, there's a new championship every year. So you have to reprioritize yourself. Am I walking in the Spirit? The Spirit would say, this doesn't matter. It matters to these people, but it doesn't matter to you. You're just walking in the flesh in this circumstance. Or, for me, I have a confession to make. I just graduated from seminary, but I haven't checked on what my final grades were. I know I graduated, but, I didn't check my final grades. And for me, if I had checked my final grades, I could tell you I would have not gotten perfect scores, but I could tell you I would probably think, what if I had done this? What if I had done that? And, Jesus definitely points that out in my next point, that many times our conflicts are internal as opposed to external. We hear of persecution of Christians around the world, and, these conflicts are external, where, they're getting killed or imprisoned or other, inhumane things happening to them, churches burning down. But here in America, we have freedom to worship. So, our fleshly desires end up being internal. And that's, in many cases, harder to discern, harder to see. So, going on to verse 17, here Paul crisscrosses, a statement. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For the these are opposed. So Paul pretty much repeated himself in a sense, but, I have a little standard when it comes to the Bible, and it's my standard, so you don't have to apply if you don't want. You don't even have to give me the credit for it. But, if something's written in the Bible once, it's important, but if it's written in the Bible twice, it's very important. That's what you, and Paul, he repeated himself because what he's saying is important. And what he's also saying is that these things, they are on polar opposites of one another. You know, Jesus had pointed out that, you know, you're either with us or against us in Matthew 12:30. You know, you can't be somewhere in the middle. You have to be for him or against him. And that's what Paul is saying. You know, you have to be for the spirit or you have to be for the flesh. Same analogy. And you know, then, you know, we also move on to the last clause of verse 17. It says, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. You know, here's an interesting thing. You know, the way it is ordered in the Greek, it doesn't solve the whole mystery between, you know, free will and God's elect. You know, it doesn't. It leaves it, you know, pretty mysterious. And, you know, what I find is people who are, you know, devout, you know, Arminians or devout Calvinists, is that they have a lot of internal conflict in themselves. Because they see themselves as, I need to have the answer to everything that God has in the Bible for us. Which, I would love the answers as well. But you know what? There are reasons why we don't have all the answers. Is because we're not God. We don't know everything. And to pretty much be content with not knowing everything in the Bible means you're at peace. You're walking in the Spirit. You're allowing God to take over in this, you know, opportunity to serve the Lord. You know, and let's see. And so also, Paul wanted to point out that, yes, even though you are a Christian, you are still going to face the flesh. Flesh is still the enemy of the Christian, even though they accepted Christ. You know, an interesting thing happened this week. I was telling the kids, you know, I'm preaching at a Chinese church this weekend. And one of the kids raised his hand and asked, so does this mean you're going to China this week? And I'm like, well, it would be nice to go visit China someday. However, I had to explain to him what a ethnic church was. And, you know, it got me thinking, you know, I'm sure many of us in this room have made Trans-Pacific flights before, and I'm sure you guys have your nightmares of some of these trips and how it would take close to a week just to recover from the plane ride just one way. And so, you know, I was to think, if I was to arrive in China right before I was to give a sermon, I would want to go to sleep. That is my, you know, human instinct. That is, you know, my, you know, basic desire of the flesh. But of course the Spirit would say, Sean, go ahead and preach. Sean, you know, you need to serve me. And that's how I feel every morning, needing to wake up very early. Sometimes I don't want to wake up, but I want to serve him. And of course, you know, Jesus had addressed the issue of people wanting to sleep when they should be at ministry, during ministry. For example, Jesus, right before he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he said in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray, and you may not enter in temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, in this circumstance, the apostles, they wanted to sleep, but Jesus wanted to be up all night, you know, praying. So the question I definitely ask myself is, you know, in what way can I best serve the Lord? Now, flying to China and preaching the gospel, that'll be an awesome thing. I wish we could all do that someday. But truly, you know, I have to be back at work on Monday morning, and, you know, I can't, you know, I wouldn't be able to serve the Lord at work on Monday. Just, so, anyways, but what you have to understand is that the Spirit can and will overpower the flesh. I would arrive in China, even though I wanted to go to sleep, I'd still have to, you know, preach the sermon, even though many of us want to, you know, sleep in on days. We still have to serve the Lord, you know, in whatever we do, whether it is a student or, you know, an engineer, doctor, whatever, you know. We still serve the Lord throughout various things. So when a conflict arises, it's important, you know, what is the best way to serve the Lord. And then my last point I want to make is that in verse 18 is that the Spirit will be your guide. You know, I love how it's interesting how Paul starts off by, but if you are led. Well, two verses ago, Paul uses the word walk. Now, to walk and to be led, it could be two different concepts. Led implies more of, you know, the willful submission to the guide. Led implies that there's a guide at hand. And in this case, it's the Holy Spirit. You know, and it's the free submission to the authority of your guide. You know, on our honeymoon, Lisa and I, we went down to Peru, and we wanted to go see Machu Picchu by way of the Inca Trail. And, well, it'll be a four-day hike out there, and we needed a guide. Well, in order for that man to have been a guide, we needed to willingly and freely submit ourselves to this man's authority in order for him to lead us. And so that's what Paul is saying in verse 18, is you need to willingly, freely submit yourself to the Holy Spirit to be guided by God and not walk in the flesh. So in addition to the Bible, we also have the Holy Spirit. You know, when we want to figure out, you know, what God has to say about something, we usually go to the Bible. And plenty of times we could get our answer. But other times we don't get the answer. Sometimes it's, you know, the Holy Spirit telling us where our answer needs to be. And that's how, you know, God speaks to us, is through the Bible and through the Holy Spirit. And there are possibly other things, possibly through His creation. But how somebody discerns how the Spirit is talking to them, it is, you know, it's all up to each individual. I wish I had the answer, but once again, I'm not God. I don't have the answer. For me, you know, discerning the Holy Spirit is, I knowing I'm not walking in God's path, is God inflicts some stress-induced illness on me. And when I start to go back on His path, the illness goes away because I'm no longer stressed out. But when I am in the flesh, I am stressed out. And that's how God speaks through me. So Paul also uses, you know, that phrase in the present tense, which also implies that it needs to be a continual action. You know, the Holy Spirit comes into you one time, but you still need to work on with the Holy Spirit. Like, Ivan could have just called me up, say, hey, would you like to preach? Yes, that'll be nice. Well, he continually had to ask, you know, hey, how things are going, to make sure I'm on track. And what God wants is for you guys to be on track as well. And so for you to continually have the Holy Spirit work in you means that you'll continually be on track. And so the last part of verse 18, it talks about you are not under, so that you are not under the law. You know, God does have some laws. You know, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your strength, and all your might, soul. It could be a tongue twister every now and then. And also, you know, in verse 14 of Galatians 5, it says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So those are some laws that we Christians, we do need to abide in. But what Paul is talking about is we should not, you know, throw away these laws I just talked about. What Paul is talking about is how, you know, there were Jews in these churches in Galatians who were trying to impose the Old Testament law upon the new Galatian Christians. And so Paul does address this issue in the first part of chapter 5. I recommend you read the entire part of Galatians 5, you know, throughout your week, and you'll know what I'm talking about better. But what he's saying is that, you know, even these Jews, they don't understand what the law is. These laws, they're arbitrary. It is through Christ who came to fulfill the law that you don't have to serve these laws. You know, I'm really looking forward to this upcoming week. Wednesday is a big day. It is my spiritual birthday. You know, preparing this sermon, I was looking through some old Bibles, and I looked through the Bible I was given the day I was saved, and it said August 2nd, 2008. And so, you know, I look back on my walk, and it was very interesting, you know, some of the phases I was in. And of course, you know, coming to Christ and then being expected to live a life for Christ in the Spirit and not in the flesh is a very scary thing. I will admit that. It is scary. You know, when I first came to Christ, I made up all these laws thinking, oh yes, if I live out these laws, I am a Christian. And not growing up in a Christian household, I had no, you know, concept of what is the Christian life about. So I took a bunch of mishmash ideas. Like, for example, am I only supposed to eat fish on Fridays? Well, that was what I thought. So for a while, I only eat fish on Fridays. Until I realized the whole concept behind it is that, you know, certain, you know, denominations do that only during Lent. And there's economic background behind that, but I'm not going to go in there. And so I had these arbitrary laws thinking, you know, I'll be more Christian by doing it. But the truth is that these laws were keeping me away from who Christ was. These laws were keeping me away from the Spirit. It was through my flesh I was saying I shouldn't eat, you know, fish on Fridays. However, as I matured as a Christian, you know, there are certain, you know, rules that, you know, I do have that will help me. For example, I love to read the Bible. And for me, I am a morning person. And my wife's a night owl. It's, you know, they say opposites attract. It's interesting. Sometimes eating lunch together is the best meal for us to eat together. But for me, I love reading the Bible in the morning. Now, I would used to really beat myself up if I, you know, had something I really needed to do. Like, the other morning, I was running late. But I did make up for it, not because I had to, but because I wanted to walk in the Spirit. And that was the big issue, you know, I had. And plus, being married now, we have, you know, I would see, you know, growing up, oh, why can't we just, you know, do whatever we want when we're married? Well, because you're covenanted together. And I have a personal conviction about that. So that's why we do have some, you know, certain rules in order to keep our marriage, you know, safe and pure for one another. So the argument I would have is that you know, the Holy Spirit is an agent that operates as a guidance for humans. That's, you know, the simple truth of it. You know, you have God the Father up in heaven. You have Jesus Christ, his the great teacher. But here you have, you know, the Holy Spirit guiding us through this whole process. The Holy Spirit is here in this room right now, here on earth, telling us, you know, where we are, what we should do, how we should do it. If we wrong somebody, how we should correct it. And the application in this is, if there's an area in which you have not allowed God to impact your life, I would encourage you to remove the barriers. The best way to remove the barriers is to simply ask the Holy Spirit to come in and to remove them. And so, to cap off, you know, what this entire sermon is, each of us have a few battles to face that are internal, even if we are a Christian. Just because we're Christian doesn't mean we have our own struggles to face. For example, you know, my wife was talking about how she was tired. I'm sure after listening to me all morning, she would love to go to sleep. But, you know, she understands that I'm speaking from God's word. And so the Spirit is telling her, no, you need to be awake, not only for me, but for everyone else and for reverence of God's word. And the Holy Spirit is the guide that provides wisdom and solutions to our internal problems. So what I ask of you guys is, you know, I talked quite a bit about the Holy Spirit today, and some of you might be wondering, how do I get the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit, it's quite simple to get. You receive the Holy Spirit when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if there is any of you who don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I simply would encourage you to, you know, come see, you know, me or any of the leadership of this church. We would be gladly, we would love to talk to you about how to receive the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. And for those of you who already are believers, who already want to walk in the Spirit but not in the flesh, I just encourage you to meditate on, you know, some things that, you know, might be hindering you, that might be more fleshly than spiritual in your life. You know, as I said, right now during the summer, sleep. That is the big thing that's hindering me. It's because, you know, needing to deal with children all day and, you know, writing sermons and especially wanting to spend some time with my wife. You know, it's a conflict. It's a struggle we're facing. And I could definitely see that, you know, with Ivan and his marriage coming up, you know, he has a totally new responsibility that he's going to have to, you know, work into the whole grand plan of ministering to you and reaching out to the world. So we definitely have him in prayer. But just remember, every need that comes your way will be met through the Holy Spirit. Every conflict that comes your way will be met when you put the Holy Spirit in between you and whatever that item is. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Good morning, Father. Thank you once again for the opportunity to speak at this beautiful church. Not only beautiful in the building, but these beautiful people here, Lord. Lord, we just want to pray for Ivan and Joyce as they are on their little trip this weekend. Lord, let it be a little vacation, but also an opportunity to do some learning as well for Ivan's sake, Lord. Lord, we want to pray that what we learned here this week doesn't just stay here in this room, but goes out into the world, Lord, and into the heart of these people here, Lord. And through them, we could sow seeds to impact the world, Lord. Lord, we just want to also lift up, you know, other prayer requests that we're not sure what they are, Lord. but we're thankful for the ability to pray for them, Lord. And Lord, we're just thankful for this day. Let it be a day where we could rest and come tomorrow, we could serve you with all the glory we can. And we could serve you in the spirit, but not in the flesh, but through the Holy Spirit. So Lord, we just want to pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you.